Thank you so much for that song. First of all, it's a upbeat song. It's fun to sing. It got a great message. And then third of all, that song was played at the wedding for Polly and me. And every year we watch our video, and I'll tell you something funny. It was a very small wedding, just the pastor, Polly and myself, best man and maid of honor, and maybe one or two other people. It was very small in this particular church. But there was a microphone because it was being broadcast worldwide through the web that they have at that church. And when it came to singing, I can see clearly now, well, Polly and I, we started singing. And we noticed as we watched the video that in the middle of the pastor picked up the microphone and moved it over. And we get a big chuckle out of that every time. We go, well, that was a wise decision there. But I can see clearly now. And you know, that's really what happens on the road to Emmaus. From Luke's Gospel, the chapter 24, verses 13 through 35, listen to this story. On that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with one another while you walk along?" They looked sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides this, it has now been 3 days since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They went to the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find the body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared.' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, Jesus walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table, he took bread, blessed, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and their companions gathered together. And they were saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' And then they told what had happened on the road and how it had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." We're familiar with the 7 last words of Jesus upon the cross. But are we familiar with the 7 next words of Jesus? Following the resurrection, Jesus went to his disciples and he shared with them important words that empowered them to go forth and take the gospel to the world. The 7 next words of Jesus. And today we're going to consider the words, "What are you discussing?" Interesting. I would like for us to look at this story, the walk to Emmaus, as a good shining example of pastoral care by Jesus himself. An example for us to follow. You see, following the death and resurrection of Jesus, it was still a very confusing thing for many of the disciples. And for these two particular disciples who were already set on the road to Emmaus, they were convinced that their hopes had been dashed with the crucifixion. They were sad. They were downcast. You could almost picture them slumped over, walking together slowly, shuffling their feet, reminiscing about, we had hoped, we had hoped, we had hoped, but death. Loss. You know the feeling. You've suffered a loss. You're experiencing grief. And you're discussing these things amongst yourself. So Jesus sees his two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Now, I think it's so neat that Jesus didn't just pop up and say, "Hey, it's me." I might have done that. But thank God Jesus is Jesus and I'm not. Because Jesus knows how to do things the right way. Jesus knew that he needed to provide pastoral care for these two disciples. And he knew he needed to do it in such a way that it could be an example for the church. It could be an example for all of us to follow. And there is so much to unpack in this story. I'm just going to come at it from the standpoint of Jesus giving us the prime shining example of pastoral care. And the first thing that he did, the first thing that was so very, very, very important, was that Jesus showed interest in these two people. The very first thing that we can do, whether it's bringing comfort to others or providing pastoral care or even sharing the good news of Christ, sharing the gospel, the very first thing that we need to do is show interest in people. What are they concerned about? What are they talking about? What is it that is in their hearts? You know, before I can minister to people, I have to get in their bucket. I have to know what they're feeling. It may not be exactly what I'm assuming it is. I need to pay attention to them. How does it feel when somebody pays attention to you? You feel treasured. You feel important. And it helps you to open up your heart. So the first thing that Jesus did was he came alongside these two, and their eyes had not yet been opened to see Jesus. There's a message right there. How come their eyes weren't opened? Because sometimes grief can blind us to the presence of Christ who's with us all the time. Disappointments, heartbreaks, so many things can cloud our vision. You know, they did not recognize that this stranger who happened to join them on this walk was Jesus. But when he paid attention to them, notice what they did. Jesus said, asked, what are you discussing while you walk along? And wow, they told him. They shared their hearts about their sorrow. And the second thing that Jesus did that's so very important in providing pastoral care, it's a good example for us, is that he simply listened. He simply listened to them as they expressed how they thought, how they felt, without interrupting, without interjecting. He listened to them in a way that was loving. So very important that we listen to people first. Because why? Because we have to get in their bucket. We have to get inside their bucket, allow them to process what they're feeling and thinking. They're not ready to hear anything at all about what we may have to say. We need to listen first. Do you realize when you stop and listen to another person, not only do you honor them, but you earn their respect, and they'll be interested in what you have to say. But so often, not until they know they have been listened to. So Jesus listened to them, and they poured it all out. You know, that's a sign that it clicked. It's hard for people to share what's deepest in their hearts. They have to know that it's a safe environment. They have to know that they can trust telling it to someone. This was a stranger. Wow. But something in his voice, Something in the way in which he approached them and dealt with them, allowed them to feel safe, and they just poured it all out. So that was the second thing. Now the third thing, and this is obvious, but Jesus simply walked with them. Well, they were already walking, but he came up, and did he say, "Let's stop and sit down"? No, he walked with them. There's something about a walk and a talk that's healing. You know, it's actually been shown, you know, in all these scientific studies, I just take their word, I don't know what this science is about, but they said that when we're exercising, when we're walking and discussing and talking and thinking, that we're able to think in different ways than if we were just seated at a desk trying to come up with a thought. I know it works for me. Many times I'll go for a run and I come back and I go, I got to write that down. That would be good for a sermon. Something about walking and talking helps you to sort through your thoughts. So he simply walked with them. Walk and a talk. That was important, that he joined them in what they were doing. A shared experience. I heard a campus pastor at Emory University share this experience one time. That many years after he had left the university, this person came up to him and said, "You probably don't remember me, but I was a student at Emory when you were the campus pastor. And one of the things that you did while I was there as well, you really helped me get over a tough time in my life." And the campus pastor said, "Well, I'm so grateful. Could you share a little bit about what I did?" He said, "Yeah, you asked me would I like to go get a hamburger." He said, "That was it?" He said, "Yeah, you asked me would I like to go get a hamburger." And then we went and we got a hamburger together. And he said, "That was it?" He said, "Yeah, that was it. Just having a hamburger with me." Joining people in what they're doing is so very good. And you know, there's a Latin phrase, solvitor ambulando. It is solved by walking. And that's what Jesus did, is he walked with them. The fourth thing that Jesus did that was so very good as giving us a pastoral example was when it was time for him to be able to share, he told the big story. The big story of what God is doing. The big story that perhaps they couldn't picture themselves being a part of. That bigger story that somehow or another gathers up all our little stories, and our story doesn't make sense until we find it in the proper context of God's story. And so he told them about the scriptures and about, was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter his glory? And he began to share this big story of what God was doing and how somehow or another defeat was not really defeat, but it was the means by which victory was gained for the world, and how Jesus fulfilled the prophecy, even through suffering. And as he began to talk about God's story, he lifted their little stories up into their proper place within God's story. You know, our stories really don't make a lot of sense apart from their place within God's stories. They're interesting. Not very interesting. Our lives make sense when we see it in the context of God's story. That's why I'm so excited about storytelling. We have the story. That when people can find their place within God's story, their life makes sense. That they can see purpose and direction. All mystery is not explained. But we can live with the mystery in such a way that we know that we know, that we know, that we belong to a bigger story. He shared that. And then, the fifth thing, this is not so obvious, but it's important. Jesus walked ahead of them as if he were going on. I think he did that on purpose. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us." And he went in to stay with them. He accepted their invitation to come to their home. He waited to receive the invitation from them. And when he received the invitation, he didn't say, well, that's too much for you to ask me to come to your house. And besides, now that I've talked with you and this, I can move on. No, he knew that for him to accept the invitation was to value them. And that the one who wanted to give the gift would be honored if he would accept the invitation. That's why it's so important to know how to receive a gift graciously, because it honors the person who gives it. I remember the time that, Otis was talking about the time that he was out in Southeast Raleigh and someone invited him to his home. And, well, there was that hesitation. Lee Viersen said, no, we need to go. And so they went into this home and had a meal. And it brought value to that lady, made her feel good. And so accepting an invitation and what people offer. I remember in divinity school, they said, hey, you really need to pay attention to this verse. It says, when you enter into a home, whatever they offer you to eat, that's what you should eat. That's what you accept. In other words, what they place before you, don't say, well, I don't eat any of that. Give me something else. No, they said, accept the hospitality, partake of what they offer you. So he accepted the invitation, and that's so very important. They wanted him to stay because their hearts were already burning within themselves, even though they couldn't express it in that way. It was only until later that they could say, were not our hearts burning while he was talking with us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? They wanted to spend more time with him. When people want to spend more time with you, it's worth it. Now, if they're not interested, you can't impose yourself on them. It's not going to make any difference. So Jesus went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. You see, in the breaking of that bread at the table was a moment of intimacy. It was a moment of closeness. It was a moment in which that which had been scales upon their eyes seemed to disappear, and they recognized that very gesture as the same gesture that broke the bread to feed the multitudes, that so often broke the bread for them whenever they gathered. They recognized him at the table. And that's why communion is so very important. We believe that in the breaking of the bread, Christ is made known to us. Even though we know he's always present, he's made known to us in a real way. In the breaking of the bread, they recognized him. So there you have it. 6 steps of pastoral care. Show interest. Listen. Walk with them. Share the bigger story of what God's doing. Accept the invitation to stay longer. And to find an opportunity to eat a hamburger together. To break bread together. And whether or not you name the name of Jesus, he is present in the breaking of the bread. I know a counselor. He's a minister, Christian minister, but he is a counselor to people of all different faiths and some who have no faith. And so he's cognizant that he needs to be mindful of the person he is with. They may or may not be persons of faith, but he has on his wall a saying, whether named or not, Christ is the unseen guest in this room. He's always present. And so when we break bread, we believe that he's present. There you have it. You have the showing interest, listening to them, walking with them, sharing God's story, accepting an invitation, and breaking the bread. Now, so what does all this have to do with us? First of all, we need to recognize how this changed those two disciples. And how this can change us today here in this place. Afterwards, they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us. And then that same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem. and to the 11 and their companions. Now, I want to lift this up to you as kind of a metaphor of the type of change that just happened in their life. It's been said that when they were walking to Emmaus, they were headed in the direction of a sunset. But when they turned around to go back to Jerusalem, they were headed in the direction of a sunrise. And that's the change that the resurrection of Jesus Christ makes in our life. We're no longer on the journey simply to a sunset and it's all over. We're headed to a sunrise where it's all beginning anew and afresh. We're headed towards the sunrise. Always. And so they turn towards Jerusalem to go back to tell the others the good news. So they've gone from simply mourning and talking about loss to now talking about what they have gained and what they have to share. They change directions from going to the sunset to going to the sunrise. They have a change of heart from being merely mournful people to now being people who share the joy of the gospel. And they are changed because from then on, they join others on their walk to Emmaus. And they repeat the same story over and over again. There actually is a Christian retreat called the Walk to Emmaus. One is coming up next weekend. You can go on a walk to Emmaus. And the whole purpose of the Walk to Emmaus is to create a Christian environment in which you can experience the grace of God. And others walk alongside you to help you see how Christ is present in your life, not only in the breaking of the bread, they have communion regularly, but simply in the community itself. Now, what does this have to do with us? Well, we see that it changed two lives because that bread was broken and they recognized Jesus. What are you thinking about today? What's on your mind and what's on your heart? I want to let you know right now, Jesus wants to know. And in his own way, he already knows. But I want you to acknowledge that he knows what you're concerned about. He knows what's on your mind. He knows what's on your heart. And he cares enough and loves you enough to listen. And he's walking with you today. And he will share time with you today if you'll invite him in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will answer and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he or she with me. And so if you give him the invitation today, he'll do that. And when we come to this communion and we share this bread, our eyes can be opened in such a way that we can see, despite whatever losses we've had, and I'm not saying that losses aren't real and that they don't hurt. They're real and they hurt. But what I'm saying is that despite whatever losses that we have had, we can see how the difference that the risen Christ can make in our lives when we know that he is with us. You know, I just recently read something by Dr. Tom Long. He's a retired professor of homiletics at Emory University Candler School of Theology. He said the reason that he likes this story so much is because he has lots of friends who have simply been disappointed with the church, simply been hurt, simply have lost their faith, have... There were times when they felt close to Jesus, but then they just didn't feel close to Jesus anymore. They experienced enough losses and hurts in life. It was just hard for them to feel joy. And he says so often what he does is he pictures these people as being the two people on the road to Emmaus. But yet somehow or another, there are persons, maybe you or me, who could join them. And simply by walking with them, we could be Jesus to them. That's what a Stephen minister is to some people. They walk along side persons when they go through transitions in life. And they become the real Jesus. And people find they can believe again. You can believe again today as we share this bread and share this meal together. You today can have your eyes open to know that no matter what is going on, Christ is with you and it will make a difference. And as we leave here, our mission is to join others on the walk to Emmaus. Join me now as I give the invitation to communion. Christ invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Gracious God, we have failed to love you with our whole heart and to be good stewards of your creation. According to your goodness, O Lord, have mercy upon us. We have failed to take up the cross of discipleship and to be good stewards of your gospel. According to your goodness, O Christ, have mercy upon us. We have failed to be faithful members of your church and to be good stewards of your spiritual gifts. According to your goodness, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The good news is that all who trust in Christ will have their sins forgiven and receive eternal life. As you hold this faith, I declare you are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, good and gracious God. By the power of your spoken word, creation was given birth. All things came into existence because you desired to create diversity, beauty, order, and wonders. Out of your love for us, you created us in your image and granted us the responsibility to care for your creation. We abused our freedom and used it to fulfill our own desires. We turned from you, abandoned our neighbors, and went our own way. Yet you did not give up on us. You sought to redeem us from our sin, reclaim us as your people, and make a covenant with us to be our God. You did all this because you are a God of mercy. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead, and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. When the Lord ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of the bread. And then the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, I invite those who will be helping to serve communion for the CFX band and for those behind the scenes to join me up front.